Come on, it's going to be good, isn't it? You can hug a neck and have a seat. I know it's a little different. We're going back to our Catholic roots here, up and down. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And you're like, man, it's like it's 11:30. Pastor said he needed 15 minutes. And I said, I've been to this one before. I've seen how this works. So he says, you'll have this much time. I said, well, okay. So what I did is I put markers in my message. If pastor goes this long, we go to here. Pastor goes this long, we go to here. Pastor goes this long, we go to here. So I've got this taken care of. You're going to get out, and it's going to be fine. You're going to be able to enjoy the weather. But God's got something for you today. Amen? So are you in for that? The other thing is the more amens I get, it truly does help me. Now, 5 seconds off for every amen off the message. Amen. Amen. Thank you. In all seriousness, it's an honor to preach up here. You get great preaching, teaching, leadership every single week. And to be able to preach from another man's platform, another man's stage, behind another man's pulpit is humbling, and it's an honor. And I don't take it lightly at all. And so we've got incredible leaders, and everything we're doing as a church and where we're going, it takes leadership. Right? You're like, man, this is exciting. I wish I had that kind of vision. Well, you're a part of a church that does. Right? You are. And it does take all of us, but it takes leadership to see that, to hear from God. And so I would encourage you, always, but especially in these next 12, 18 months, to keep these guys in prayer. Okay? Are you thankful for your pastors? Huh? Thank you. You are. There we go. Come on. You can actually clap. This is good. Like, clap for him. Woo! The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And it is due. So I would just encourage you, again, in the next 12, 18 months especially, be praying for them. Try to hold back on the temptation of using the spiritual gift of opinion giving. Right? Some people operate in that tremendously well. Yeah, some of you are like, I'm not going to say a word because the person I'm next to is like the chief prophet of opinion giving. But that's not a spiritual gift, by the way, people. Right? So let's just support what's going on. It's biblical. I mean, it's right. It's not crazy. It's we want to reach more people for Jesus, and you get to be a part of that. So be praying for them. No division, but unity in the church. Amen? Amen. So, again, I've got... The clock hasn't even started. Look, it's grace upon grace upon grace. So I'll have you out of here at noon-ish. We're back in Genesis. So last week, if you remember, Pastor preached a message called Family Drama out of Genesis 30. And if you haven't given that a listen, you need to go check it out on one of the platforms. It's worth listening to. It'll challenge you. And how many of you know that sometimes our families have drama, right? Yeah, it's always the in-laws, isn't it? Every time. I love you if you're watching. You're amazing. And but family drama, it's worth listening to, watching that message. Let God speak to you through it. So this week it puts us at Genesis 31. And just to bring you up to speed very quickly, it's a story about Jacob and when he leaves where he was at with his parents and he goes to his uncle to go find a wife. Anybody in here want to go find a wife? Don't raise your hand if you're married. That'd be bad. Okay, there's a few people that want to go find a wife. Fantastic. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to your uncle's place? Not really. I mean, that's weird, isn't it? Like, you're going to go marry a cousin? But it was different then. Anyway, that's where Jacob goes. He goes to his uncle's place, and because his dad didn't want him, his mom and dad didn't want him to marry someone from that custom where they were, right? He wanted him to be evenly yoked, as it were, and be a Jew, I guess. And so anyway, so he goes there, and you know the story is that Jacob was quite the deceiver, right? Even from his very birth. And I think it's interesting how he was deceived when he went about finding a wife. You know, we heard the story last week where his father-in-law tricked him and gave him one daughter, so gave him a wife he didn't know that was going to be his wife, which is weird. I have a lot of questions about that. But the next morning, he realized that was not what he had bargained for. And so all of a sudden, he's going to serve a bunch more years for the woman that he did love. And so that's where we kind of pick up here in Genesis 31, 1 through 3. So now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, so these are his cousins talking about him. His cousins said, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. So something shifted. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Lord, help us today as we dive into your word. Lord, even though it's a bit more condensed, Lord, there's so much in here, Lord, for us to get today. I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds. God, we want to be living our lives according to your word. So, Lord, even though this is written back then, and even though this is a story about them, these are principles of how you act, of how you interact with us, and the desire you have for our lives. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God was blessing Jacob, and as we said, his cousins were jealous. You know, I've noticed sometimes when God's got a blessing or his hand on your life, other people sometimes get jealous. You ever notice that? Let's be careful not to be those people, right? Because it's easy when you're the one getting blessed, and you're like, man, this is good. God's blessing me. But you see other people getting blessed, and you know what we should probably do is be happy for them. And what you know, maybe even we find out how's that working in your life. Like, how did you get the blessing? And things just seem to work out for you. Like, things fall in place. Like, man, all these things and all these sheep and all these possessions. Because, you know, we'll see in a minute, he sends his family out on camels, which would indicate he was very wealthy. So how did this happen? Well, he decided to serve God. Right? So when you see other people having success spiritually in their lives, let's try not to get jealous, but let's try to dig into what they're doing. Right? And emulate that if we can. So God allowed Jacob's circumstances, however, even though he was being blessed, everything was good. It was great. Things were going great from, you know, from a lot of different perspectives. And, but God allowed him to get uncomfortable. He allowed him to maybe get a little bit like dissatisfied with where he was with his situation. And I just want to submit to you today that God will allow you to be dissatisfied in certain times of your life so that he can motivate you or you're willing to make a change. It doesn't mean you're living in sin. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just means maybe God has something better for you. But oftentimes, we as humans, we get comfortable in where we're at. It's familiar. That's what we know. So we just stay there, right? And we say, man, it's good. God's blessed me. Far too many believers live here. God blessed them 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They had a move of God in their life. God set their life on a path. They maybe got married, started a family, got a good job, and then they just stayed there. And they're like, man, this is comfortable. But I tell you, if you want to do stuff with God, you've got to be willing to have a change. You've got to get dissatisfied sometimes. And, you know, I think back years ago when we were pastoring a little church up in northeast Iowa, and it's the area I grew up in. And so our dream was to move out on the farm, and we had the opportunity to buy the family farm where my sisters and I grew up. And so now we're living out there. Mindy and I are raising our kids. This was like a dream come true. It's like it was in that moment where I just felt like God was blessing our lives. Everything was good. We loved what was going on at the church. We were blessed at where we were living. We were able to do the things we wanted to do out there. The kids were playing in the same hay mound I was playing in. Some of you relate, playing in the hay mound, like building forts out of hay bales. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's a blast. My kids were able to have that kind of upbringing. They were riding horses through the same ditch that I rode through. They were climbing the same trees. We were able to remodel the farmhouse, and it was beautiful. A dream house. It had a 70-foot front porch, covered front porch. Oh, baby, come on. Face the east. I mean, you can watch the sunrise. It was absolutely amazing. It was our dream place. Completely. Never thought we'd ever move. Thought I would die there. You bury me out back. That's fine. But something began to shift. You would think we had it all. We really did. That was what we prayed for. And life was good. And we were serving Jesus. But something happened. We began to get dissatisfied. Not like we wanted more, but like God wanted different. Even when you're in a moment of complete blessing, it's almost harder to change when things are going well. But you got to be sensitive to that thing inside here that you begin to feel like, I just begin to lose interest. Like, I would come home often and just go saddle up. Dude was my favorite horse. Awesome name for a horse, isn't it? Dude. Dude and I would go ride, and I would just worship and just love it. It's just like, it was just stress would just fall off my shoulders. I began to be disinterested in that. During this time, we felt like the Lord said to us, I called you to pastor the town, not just the church. And he said this, he said, if I called you to go to another country to be a missionary, what would you do? This is also, he's speaking to my heart. Listen, as believers, you've got to hear his voice. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, if I asked you to go to another country to be a missionary, what would you do? I said, well, I'd move there. He said, okay. What next? I said, I'd learn their customs and their language. And he said, then do it. And I knew exactly what that meant, that you're pastoring, but you're still separate from them. And I'm not saying every pastor has to live right next to the church or in the same town. I don't know. But for me, that's what God began to say. And I began to be disinterested in what was happening out there. I just wanted to be with the people. I wanted to be where God called me. See, but that didn't happen without losing the contentment. There was a struggle in that process. Amen? And I'm thankful that God gave me that, because there's no way, if he would have just given me that word, I probably wouldn't have listened. I probably would have chalked it up to just me, I'm just hearing things. But because what was happening, I was so disinterested and dissatisfied in where I was that it moved me to another place. So if you find yourself today, listen, don't think that you're walking in sin. You know if you are. You may just be in a spot where God has something better for you than where you're at right now. Because I didn't know it at the time, and it was hard. It was one of the hardest things we ever did. But I'll tell you now, I would never go back. I would not go back. I wouldn't trade what we have right now, where we're at right now, what God's doing in our lives, what we've experienced, what we've seen from him, that it's harder sometimes, but it's better. And just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God. There was a point in time when we made a move that my wife, she knew it was God, just like I did, but she lost 20 pounds just out of the stress. Does it mean things aren't going to be hard? No. But it does mean it's going to be better. So don't get so caught up in the moment that you're not willing to make a change. God will allow you to be dissatisfied so that you are willing to make a change. Is God stirring something in your heart? Now, I know this one thing, that if you're going to serve God, it requires change. I need to say that again for some people in here that don't like change. How many of you love change? Okay. Boy, that's an overwhelming amount of people that love change. I'm preaching to the right crowd, because most of you do not like change. I'll just tell you like it is. If you want to see incredible things with God, you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to step out and take that risk. And oftentimes we get frustrated because we want to know the end from the beginning from the end. When God says, I want you to go that way, it's like a staircase, and we take a step and we go, but how many more steps, God? Well, just keep going. No, but how far is it? Like, what? And what's at the top? Where are we going? That's not important for you. So, Lord, are we here? We get to a platform. And we're like, we made it. We did it. Yeah, awesome. He's like, no, just turn the corner. Like, we've got another flight. Well, how tall is this, Lord? Listen, just keep following him. Amen? Like, you've got to get over that at some point. Like, that's what holds a lot of believers back. They go to a certain point, and they're like, it's good. But it got a little hard, and so I'm just going to stay right here because it's still good. It's still better than it was. I'm not lost. I'm not living in sin like I was, and it's pretty good. But they get to that spot, and, man, they've been serving him for years and years and years and years, and they're like, but there's nothing really exciting happening in my life. Because you got to a point where you said, I'm not going to change anymore. I'm not going to step out in faith anymore. I only want to stick with the known things. Come on. You can stay like that. And we'll make it sound good at your funeral. We will. We'll, like, talk you up. But one day you're going to sit down at the marriage supper next to Paul. He's going to go, so what'd you do? Well, man, I'll tell you, I gave $15 to Bold that time. And I came to church 70% of the time. He's going to go, what? Okay, cool. And he's going to turn and talk to the guy on the other side. You made it in. That's good. I mean, it's good, right? You're saved. But I don't know, guys. I don't want to just make it in. I want to leave a mark, right? Like, do something. Do something. And I tell you, it's easy to clap to it. I'm the same way. And then it comes down to the rubber when nobody else is around and God says, do this. And you go, but God, that's not, I'm not that man of faith. That's Pastor Jesse. He's got the faith to do that. No. I my word says I'm no respecter of persons, so I think I asked you. And you can say no, and he's a gentleman, and he'll come back, and you can say no, and you can say no. And at one point, unfortunately, I think he says, I'm just going to ask somebody else. And I don't know if I'm plan A, B, C, or D in his, but I don't really care. If I'm plan D, then the guys in front of me said no. So now I'm plan A. Amen? And you're still saved. It's not a matter of salvation. God can still be in your life, and he'll let you get back on track anytime. He'll let you get back on. You just jump back on. So don't beat yourself up saying, I know I missed a bunch of opportunities when God was speaking to my heart. Cool. Acknowledge it, repent, and then jump back on. And God says, I will restore the years that the locust ate. Okay? No condemnation on those that serve Christ Jesus. Okay, back to the verse, because we're 17 minutes. I need a few more amens to speed this up. Okay, amen. Back to the verse. If you notice, the Lord spoke to Jacob directly when he said, go, and he said, I will be with you. This is everything. If God's with Jacob, he can be at peace and confidence in any difficulty, or at least he had the opportunity to. You know, that's the difference maker, isn't it, that whether God goes with you or not. And you know, we've got to kind of have a thing where we talk about when transition happens in our lives, there's a lot of unknowns. And I tell the Lord often, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. You ask me to do this, you'll take care of all the details. Some of y'all are like all analytical, and you got to figure everything out. And I don't know if I'm not that way or I'm just not smart enough. I don't know. Either way, it works. Because I just say, God, you said this, I'm going to do that. How everything works out, I don't care. I mean, you know, like, honestly, it's faith or it's not. If you can figure it all out and you can make it happen, then it didn't take faith. Now, I'm not lazy. I'll do things and try to, you know, knock on doors and kick doors in and do things like that. But God still has to do it. Amen? It's not yours to carry. But Jacob, he didn't take advantage of all of that. You see, God will not ask you and me to do things alone. He will go with us. But so many times we lack in hearing his voice because we don't slow down or we're not quiet long enough to listen. Can I tell you, as a believer, you need to know his voice. You need to know his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's great to seek wisdom from other people you know and other believers, and that's biblical. But you shouldn't seek everyone else's opinion before his. Now, when I say hear his voice, some of you might be like, I don't even know what that means. Like, is it like thunder from heaven? Is it what? No, how many of you know what it means to hear his voice? Yeah, so it's not maybe an audible voice. I suppose it can be. But it's this thing where he speaks to you and you know it's God. Because the word said his sheep know his voice. So you're his sheep, right? You've given your life to Christ. You confess through your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. You're his, right? That's biblical. That's truth, whether you feel like it or not. So if that's the truth, which it is, then you can hear his voice. However, if you're anything like me, you have to quit talking long enough to hear it. Right? Because we come with our laundry list of things or even just worshiping and things, but there's moments and times where I just have to realize I haven't heard from him in a while and I just need to be quiet. And I promise you, 100% of the time in my life serving Jesus, if I'm quiet long enough, he'll speak to me. It may be a word, it may be whatever, but he'll speak to my heart every single time. And he'll do that for you. But are you willing to wait? Willing to be quiet? How else does he speak? He speaks through his word. Are you reading the word? Now, come on. I know we're in church and everybody's a good Christian. And you're all going to say, I read my Bible religiously every day. No, you don't. You don't, right? Because I don't. I struggle sometimes. We go through seasons, right? You want to hear him. Listen, if you want to hear the voice of God, read the letter that he wrote you. Read the book. Read the book. And know this, that anything you feel like God's speaking to your heart or anything God says to you will never contradict what's in the Word of God. If what you're feeling, like God told me to divorce her because I don't like her anymore, that's not God. Okay? Well, no, it was so strong. I know it's not normal, but that's what he told me. No. He'll never contradict the Word. But he will speak to your life. He'll speak specific things. That's a tough, specific. Specific. Is that like Elmer Fudd or what was that? Specific. But he will speak to you. Amen? Okay, jump back into Genesis 31:17. 12 minutes. We're doing good. Everybody still awake? You ready for God to touch your life? Okay. So Jacob arose, and he set his sons and his wives on camels, and he drove away all the livestock and all the property that he gained and all the possessions and all this stuff, and he went over to Canaan, went back to his dad's place. And Laban, his father-in-law, had gone to shear sheep. Everybody say shear sheep?
Shear sheep.
That's fun. Shear sheep. And Rachel stole, listen to this, Rachel, what are you doing? Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban. And all this stuff goes on. And they flee. And anyway, as you read on this week, because you're going to read on, you want to know how this ends, right? Yeah, Laban catches up with them and they have this interesting conversation. But I want to focus on this for a minute. Isn't it interesting that God had already told Jacob to go and that he was going to be with him, right? But Jacob's fear and deceptive nature showed that he lacked confidence in God and his promises. He relied more on his own wisdom and ability. If you were there, you'd go, Jacob, stop it. Like, this has got you in so much trouble already. Like putting like animal skins on your arms to trick your dad, trying to do this to manipulate that, trying to do that to manipulate this. Like, dude, it doesn't work. And good thing you guys don't ever do that. Right? God speaks something to you and you try to make it happen. Right? Like you do stuff that maybe you're not being that patient about or you just try to muscle it, right? No. Listen, God had already told him, man, he heard from him, so he knew his voice. God said, I'll go with you. So why did he have to get up and try to flee? God said, I got you. And what we didn't read is God spoke to his father-in-law in a dream and said, man, like basically don't hurt him. So God's got your back. Can we just walk in the confidence and not try to prove anything, not try to manipulate it? Like, listen, my favorite people to be around are those that just have a deep faith and confidence in God. They're humble. They admit when they're wrong. They have faith to do incredible things that are way beyond their abilities. And they wait on God's timing to do it. And then when God says do it, they jump. And they say, well, how far is the drop? I have no idea. God said jump. Amen? I promise you guys, if we'll do that, like what we've seen already in our church is unusual, dramatic, crazy, awesome, but it's just the beginning. I see it in my mind, like if you have a snowball at the top of a mountain, right, and that thing starts to roll, what happens as it rolls? Yeah. Now, it's scary. It's a lot to handle, and that thing is a force to be reckoned with. You don't want to get in the way, right? But I feel like that's what God's doing with this. Like, as more believers, like, dive into this and say, man, the church is doing great stuff and stepping out in faith and all this, but what if we as individuals did it? Like, what if you took that same approach in your family's life and said, you know what? Okay, we're going to have a family dinner, and we're going to pray about, God, what do you have for us? Because I promise you God won't go, well, not really anything. God, what do you want us to do for you? Actually, I'm good. I got enough people. You know, these front row guys, they go after it. They got it covered. No. God's got a specific plan for you and for your family. And what if every single family, every single believer in the church said, listen, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to go after this. I'm going to hear your voice. I know you're with me. You're making me uncomfortable for a reason so that I'm willing to change. I want to change. I want to be more like you. And we dove into that because when you begin to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, incredible things happen. Because the only thing that stays the same serving him is everything changes. I'm serious. I mean, like, his principles are all the same, and the Word of God doesn't change. But he's going to ask you to become more like him. Amen. Well, we're supposed to take up our cross every other day? Oh, wow. So we're supposed to take up our cross daily and become more like Christ. So I guess we're supposed to change every day to be more like him. But his fear and deception showed that he still lacked some faith. He still had some growth opportunities. You know, and God, as you read on, I think probably next week or the week after, pastor's going to talk about this, but God had a way of breaking the deception and the human nature that Jacob had. Those two had quite an encounter. God's not afraid to have an encounter with you and I, to the point where maybe you even walk differently. That's a little teaser if you're not reading your Bible, right? It's going to be good. But I want to focus on verse 19 for the remainder of this message. In verse 19, it talks about Rachel stole the household gods that were her father's. And perhaps she worshipped these idols, and they would have been displayed, you know, publicly in their home or whatever, but maybe she worshipped these idols. You got to remember, they're leaving. She's leaving her homeland. She's leaving her family, leaving her brothers, leaving her parents. She's leaving everything she knows. She's going with her husband. Can I just do a side note there? Wives, we know that the Bible says that the husbands are supposed to be spiritual authority in the home, right? That's a real popular thing to preach nowadays. But it's biblical. The problem is this. Too many times, men have taken a back seat and not led spiritually, not in the Word, not leading their family in prayer, not doing extra things, not going to prayer group, not whatever, just not doing extra things. So wives step up and they lead spiritually. And that, you know what? Hats off to you. However, men, we need to do a better job in general. And if you're doing a great job, man, pat yourself on the back, right? But we need to do a better job of being spiritual leaders in our homes, right? I know that I'm thankful that my wife, when I say something, and I say, man, I believe God's doing this, she's on my side. Now, that's come because hopefully my lifestyle backs it up, right? That she knows I hear from God. She knows I'm spending time with the Lord. That it's worked out in the past. That, you know what, if you've messed up in the past, start over. But we need to have families that line up like the Word of God say. And men, we need to be spiritual leaders in our homes. We need each other, right? How many wives in here that love Jesus say, I don't want my man to be a spiritual leader? I promise you there's no hands. Because no matter what our culture says, we're wired that way. And every single wife wants her husband to be in love with Jesus. And when you're in love with Jesus, you'll be willing to die for your wife like Christ said he was willing to die for the church. So it's not a power thing, but it's a spiritual thing of leadership. Okay, enough of that. That was a side note. But Rachel's following her husband. Whether she bought in or not, I don't know. In that time, it wouldn't have mattered. She has to go. But she brought these gods. Perhaps she didn't want to go any further, like go to another country without something that was familiar from home. Maybe she brought these gods and stole them. Maybe she brought them because she didn't want her father to seek the wisdom that they thought was maybe found in them. Maybe it's because these idols often represented like a deed to property. So she thought by taking these, then the property is going to be mine. Maybe she took them because she felt like her dad had wronged her. And so this is a way to kind of get back at him. Perhaps Rachel was going with her husband but was not fully on board because she didn't hear it directly from God, so she was taking her own gods. Either way, we're not certain why Rachel took the idols, but the fact remains she took them. And you know, you and I are not all that different. We need to stop hanging on to some old idols. God calls us out of the old life and the old lifestyle, but too often we want a few pet idols still around. What's familiar is hard to step away from. Now, I've heard so many people say this, like when they get saved. This is full of idols, by the way. And it's heavy. And, you know, I've heard so many people, countless people say when they give their life to Christ, it's like as if a weight was lifted off their shoulders. Right? That they just feel like literally a weight lifted off their shoulders. Like they feel a freedom. They feel different. They can't explain it. It's a supernatural thing. You know, to get saved is pretty supernatural, right? If you don't know Jesus in this place, you need to give him your life today, right? It's a supernatural thing. It's hard to explain. A little bit. But we know that God sent his son to a virgin. He lived a sinless life for three and a half years, did public ministry, did all sorts of miracles, brought dead people back to life, did crazy things. We know he was crucified. We know he went in a tomb. We know on the third day he came out. He hung out for a while, did some crazy stuff, and then he levitated through the clouds. And people are standing there in awe, like their jaws on the ground. This literally happened. It's in the Bible. And dudes are like, what in the world? And a couple angels are hanging out there, which is perfectly normal. And they said, what's the big deal? And the same way he left, he's coming back. Okay, so this is true. That happened. And the same Jesus that did that, if he did that, you have to believe everything he said, right? And he said he's the only way to eternal life. And he said crazy things like, if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that I'm the Lord, you're saved. Isn't that nuts? Like, it doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't matter. Like, he did it. He paid the price. He did it. If you'll just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved, right? So what happens is you give your life to Jesus, and all of a sudden, man, you just, again, it's unexplainable. Supernaturally, he takes all your junk, and you take this off, and you're like, oh, my gosh. I didn't know life could be this good. Like, no, seriously, how many of you felt that? Like, I didn't know it could be this good. I didn't know I could have this kind of joy, this kind of peace, that I didn't have to live with guilt and shame and all this kind of junk. Like, it's awesome, right? It's incredible. But unfortunately, over time, listen a minute. Let me get rid of my idols here a minute. Thank you, Aaliyah, for the backpack. Hope it's not one of your favorites. Got some idols in here. And they're heavy, you know. This old way of life, man, it's pretty rugged. But I'm just going to hang on to this, just backpack. It's not really that heavy, but I still got it, just in case, right? So what happens, unfortunately, us as believers sometimes is, you know, we're living in this freedom. We're still living in this crappy old world, right? And maybe one of those idols that I got rid of, his old habits, his old family traits, maybe it was drunkenness. Man, God set me free. I don't have to get drunk every night anymore. But, you know, last couple weeks have been pretty rough. And I kind of just need an escape. You know what I mean? You ever been there? You know, I sure missed that hangover the next morning. I missed that worshiping the porcelain god the night before. Oh, don't act like you ain't been there. If you ain't, don't go. It'll cost more than you ever thought it would. But, man, I've just been walking in this freedom, but, man, it's been kind of heavy lately, and I don't like life, and I'm just going to put one back in. Okay, just one. And, you know, I've been trying to forgive Pastor Lauren when she said something really mean to me. But honestly, I don't really want to. It hurt. And so I'm just gonna harbor a little bit of unforgiveness. Now, he set me free of that, and I used to really struggle with that. But generally speaking, I've forgiven everybody. But I'm going to hang on to this one. I'm just going to put that back in there. It's not really that heavy anymore. But, you know, God freed me from looking at things on the internet I shouldn't. But my wife's never in the mood. And a guy needs to be satisfied one way or another, right? So it's not really my fault that I look at porn, is it? He set me free. But, again, it's not really my fault. Nobody understands how bad I have it. You ever met Mindy? No, it's funny. But these are the things you tell yourself. No, I'm serious. You look at your wife sometimes and you think those things. And it's not true. Well, now what happens is I got a bunch of guilt and shame because I once didn't have to carry that around. Now I do. So now I'm going to put some guilt and shame in there because now the devil's beating me up every day. Now I got these stinking insecurities because I'm like, I mean, maybe I wasn't saved. And now I'm getting angry again all the time. I mean, I'm a redhead. It's justified. If you had to live with my kids and my wife, you'd get angry too. And God, you know what? There was a time when I was kind and I was forgiving and I could hold my tongue. It's not really my fault. It's like my, it's in my DNA. It's my family heritage. It's what we do. Put that back in there too. And then just stinking negativity. I could just negative all the time. God gave me positivity. He gave me a future and a hope. And now all I can see is everything's bad. Matter of fact, that's all I talk about. When we talk to other people, we sit around the supper table and we just talk about people. We gossip and we're negative. We don't lift people up. We assume the worst in them. So I'm just going to put that back in there. Because that was in there. It's kind of an idol from the old life. But next thing you know, I've been serving him for a while now, but got the same old stuff on. God offered me a better way. He gave me a future and a hope, a purpose, plans. But I just decided to pick everything else back up. Anybody been there? Well, I'll tell you what, today, if you can stand up with me, I need to land this plane. 3 minutes over, I ask for your forgiveness. Take unforgiveness out of your backpack, please. But it's a serious moment in that I want to give you an opportunity to take some stuff out of your backpack today. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everybody say new. The old has passed away. Behold, the what? The new has come. And you say, man, well, he did that to me once. Can he do it again? Nope. One and done. You already messed up. You know, the Bible says his mercies are new every Sunday. His mercies are new every other day. What's the Bible say? If you didn't know, it says the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Okay, if he didn't know already that you needed that, why would he do that? So you need to quit letting the enemy beat you up and say, man, you've already been forgiven of that stuff. See, and it's almost harder the second time because you know better now. The first time you come to Christ, you're like, man, this is amazing. It's freedom. The second time, you're like, I should have known better. Yeah. Cool, you're human. You've got a sin nature and we're fighting against it. It's a process called sanctification. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I have come to the altar. I can't tell you how many dozens of times I've given my life to Christ. No, I'm serious. That doesn't theologically sound at all. But what it is, it's a response that I want to be more like Jesus, right? And that he said his mercies are new every morning. So if you don't accept the mercy today and you walk out of here with an idol in your backpack, it's only your fault. I mean that with the most love possible. You don't have to. All you have to do is give it to him, and he'll take it every time. Every single time he'll take it. He'll never reject you. He gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. He actually resists the proud that say, I don't need your help. I don't want God resisting me. So humble yourself today and say, God, I want to give this back. Help me never to pick this up. Help me to take this stupid thing off. And put it over here and not even pick up the empty bag anymore. Right? Like I'm going to live a different way. Here in a moment, Connor's going to come and give you an opportunity to accept Christ. But before we do, I want to ask you to do something out of faith. And it's going to be challenging for some of y'all. This is called an altar in a church. An altar is for taking things and giving them to God. If you've got things that are back there that you don't want back, you don't have to tell anybody what they are. If you don't want to walk out those doors with them, I want to invite you to come put them up here. And I'm going to pray for you. I'll give you a minute. Come on up. Don't leave with things attached to your life that shouldn't be attached to your life. Today's the day. And you know what, gang? Next week, you may have to come do the same thing. This isn't a matter of now you're perfect. Now perfection has come. No, there's one that's perfect, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Only one. But we are in this process of sanctification. I'm doing good, I'm doing good, I'm doing good, and then I screwed up. Okay, so quit. See where that takes you, right? We've been there. No. No, you screwed up, run to Jesus. He already knows it. Like, run to him and put it in front of him and say, look, I messed up. He's going to say, I know. Do you still love me? Yes, I love you. You're my kid. But let's do better. Let's go. Let's get in the Word. Get that thing out of there. Get around people that are going to say, hey, you got the backpack on again. Take it off. You're getting kind of judgmental. You're gossiping. You're lying. You're looking at stuff you shouldn't. Quit it. Until you can do it in your own strength with him. But have accountability. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for your promises that your mercy is new every morning. God, I pray for every single person that came up here this morning and said, I don't want that thing in my life anymore. And God, maybe it's the first time they came forward, and maybe it's the thousandth time they came forward to set it down. And you take it all the same every single time. Because that's what you do. And I just stand against the condemnation, guilt, and shame that some people feel because they're like, well, I know better. Yep, you do. But he died for that anyway. Like, it's almost insulting to carry it longer when he already died for it. You both know him, you and Jesus, you both know what you've done. So just give it to him. And so, God, I just thank you for that freedom that we have, that we don't have to walk in condemnation and guilt. We can walk in newness of life and freedom. And I pray that for every single person here today, that they walk out of here fresh and new like they did the first day they gave their life to Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, be sure to go to myeternity.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.